بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 17th of June in the year 2021 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 88th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu. And I'm steadily going through the reports, highlighting his eminent rank in the glorious deen. And we moved on to number 14, where I'm mentioning his blessed name along with other noble companions. So, in another report, Sayyidina Anas, radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ تَشْتَاقُ إِلَىٰ ثَلَاثَةٍ عَلِيٍّ وَعَمَّارٍ وَسَلْمَانٍ. Verily paradise longs for three, Ali, Ammar and Salman, radiyallahu ta'ala. So this is recorded in Tirmidhi, number 3822, Hasan Gharib, Hakim in his Mustadrak, 3-137, Sahih. Hafiz Mizzi in his Tahzib al-Kamal 21-223, Mishkat, volume 4, number 147, in the chapter on Hazrat Ali, radiyallahu. So in this report, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something very strange. He said, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ تَشْتَاق. Verily, paradise longs إِلَىٰ ثَلَاثَ for three. So the wording is strange. Why? Because it should be the other way. If somebody says, are you yearning for paradise? Yes, I'm yearning for paradise. Is paradise yearning for you? You think, you know, what do you mean is paradise yearning for me? That's not the normal way to discuss paradise. But such is the lofty status of these three souls that the Prophet ﷺ said, paradise longs for three. Meaning, he's looking forward to these three. And who was the first the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Aliyin wa Ammarin wa Salman. Ali, Ammar and Salman. Paradise is yearning for them. So now what's strange? Can we earn paradise? And the answer is no. Our beloved messenger himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, nobody goes to paradise by virtue of his deeds. So the Sahaba asked, not even you, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, not even I, except by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this shows the value of paradise. It's literally priceless. You can't earn it, even with the deeds of a prophet. Think about that. So paradise is something you can't earn. If you keep that in mind, this narration is mind-blowing. Because paradise is yearning for three. Even though you can't earn it, paradise is yearning for three. And out of the three, the youngest again was Ali. Ammar radiallahu anhu was martyred in his mid-90s. Salman al-Farsi, he certainly was over a century. Ali was the youngest. So now, the other shocking thing, who was the first of the three to enter paradise upon his passing? And the answer is Salman. Salman was the oldest. He was over a century and he passed away in Uthman's Khalifah. So he was the first of the three who paradise yearned for. Then Ammar passed away a few years before Ali. So what's amazing, the Prophet mentioned Ali first. Meaning even though he'll be the last of the three, but he's the greatest amongst them. And note, the same two are mentioned in the hadith I mentioned yesterday, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنِي بِحُبِّ أَرْبَعَةٍ وَأَخْبَرَنِي أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّهُمْ. Verily Allah, who is blessed and exalted, has commanded me to love four. And he has informed me that he loves them. When they asked, who are they, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet said three times, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aliyyam minhum, Aliyyam minhum, Aliyyam minhum. Ali is one of them. He then added, Wa Abu Dharrin wal Miqdadu wa Salman. وَأَمَرَنِي بِحُبِّهِمْ وَأَخْبَرَنِي أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّهُونَهُمْ. Also Abu Dharr, Miqdad and Salman, he has informed me that he has undoubtedly loved them, or loves them. Recorded in Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Ahmad, Mishkat, and many others. So note, three of those, paradise was yearning for. Ali, Abu Dharr, and Ammar, and Salman, radiyallahu ta'ala. So just note again, paradise itself had to wait the longest for its most exalted resident, our blessed Mawla, the majestic Sayyidina Ali. Now paradise, the other thing about paradise is that it's a living creation. It's not static. People think it's a park. Astaghfirullah, you know how much love lost they are. Paradise talks, it lives and it breathes. It's a living creation. So it loves. This narration also indicates that he has feelings and it yearns for three. Tashtaqu. He has great love for three. And Ali is one of them. With regards to Sayyidina Ali, incredible share of paradise, our beloved messenger once told him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Ali, radiyallahu, you have a large share of paradise and you are its Zulqarnain. Thus do not look at a non-mahdam again after the first unintentional look. Indeed, the unintentional look is forgiven. This is recorded in Tabarani in his Awsat 1-209, Bazar in his Musnad, Ibn Hibban 12-381 and others. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Ali has a large share of paradise. Now think about that. Any part of paradise is enough for your success. But he's been reserved a large share of paradise. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are paradise's Zulqarnain. You are its Zulqarnain. So we've recently been going through the Surah Al-Kahf, and you can refer to who Zulqarnain is there. But he was a companion of a Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he traversed. So why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are paradise's Zulqarnain? It means he's going to traverse. He got such a large share, he will be traveling. Like Zulqarnain traveled the world over. And then in the second part of the hadith, the Prophet famously said, the first look is forgiven if your eyes come across a non-mahram, but the second isn't. So the Prophet was highlighting, control your eyes. And just to add about Zulqarnain, Ali himself said, radiyallahu, Zulqarnain radiyallahu was neither a prophet nor an angel alayhi salatu wasalam. He was a human being who loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved him. This is in Hakim in his Mustadrak Sahih, Fath al-Bari 6-295, Sahih. So look how appropriate. Ali is telling you. Why? Because he's the Zulqarnain of paradise. So he's telling you about the Zulqarnain of the world. Because he wasn't a prophet, he wasn't an angel, he was a human being who Allah Ta'ala loved, and he loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abu Huraira both said, radiyallahu anhuma, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with Zulqarnain's deeds. He thus praised him in his book. This is in Al-Bidayah 2-113. So Allahu Akbar, how many illustrious personalities was this most majestic man likened to? He was likened to prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, etc. And he's likened to Zulqarnain, who wasn't a prophet. But note, his likening also shows his status. Subhanallah. So moving on to number 15. He's being mentioned together with his illustrious predecessors. He's being mentioned together with his illustrious predecessors, radiyallahu ta'ala. Subhanallah, it is very informative that when our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the Khilaf al-Rashidi, the blessed name of Ali would not be mentioned first. So that no misconceptions could occur. This is a miracle. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm going to mention the reports. He mentioned the Khilaf al-Rashidin, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. Not once did he change that order. So to us, because we're looking back, we say, well, that's the order of the Khilaf. Yes, how did the Prophet know that? So imagine if he had said Umar first, Abu Bakr second, Ali third, Uthman fourth, there would have been a blemish. If he mentioned Abu Bakr and Umar, but then Ali third, Uthman fourth, it would be a blemish. Not once did he change the order when he mentioned them together. So that was a sign that he knew. So let's mention a few of these reports. In Tirmidhi, Imam Ahmad in his Musnad Mishkat, volume 4, number 55, in the chapter on the virtues of the ten, Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih, in Sahih al-Jami, number 50. Abu Dawood ibn Majah, Ahmad al-Diyan, others also relate similar. Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi again states Sahih, in his Sahih al-Jami, number 3905. It is a mutawatir report. So this narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said everywhere. When something becomes mutawatir, it means everybody heard it. So either he said it to a huge gathering, like the farewell hajj, making it mutawatir, or he said it at home, on a journey, in the masjid, etc., etc. So this falls under that category. Some of the scholars say it's not quite mutawatir, but it's very, very famous. So if anybody denies this hadith, it either takes him out of Islam, because he's rejected something which the Prophet definitely said, or he's on the verge of leaving Islam. So what's the hadith? So who narrates it? Two of the ten promised paradise. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf and Sa'id ibn Zayd. So this shows the value of this report as well. They are both related that the Prophet said in this mutawatir report, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr will be in paradise. Umar will be in paradise. Uthman will be in paradise. Ali will be in paradise. Talha will be in paradise. Zubair will be in paradise. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf will be in paradise. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas will be in paradise. Sa'id ibn Zayd will be in paradise. And Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala anhum will be in paradise. So now, think about this. This is the famous hadith of the ten promised paradise. Did Rasulullah want the whole ummah to know this? Yes. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did he want the whole ummah not to argue about these souls? Yes. Did he mention the Khilaf al-Rashidin in order? Yes. So now there's a few questions that still need to be asked here. One question. Why aren't other eminent companions also mentioned in this glorious list? Like Zayd ibn al-Haritha, Hamza, and what about Khadija? Radiyallahu ta'ala. Good questions. So Hamza, the chief of all martyrs, he's not in this list. Radiyallahu. Zayd ibn al-Haritha, the Sahaba mentioned in the Quran by name, he's not in this list. Khadija, who some believe was the first to embrace Islam, the great support, the first wife of our beloved messenger, she's not in the list. So why aren't their names in this list? The answer is, because Allah Ta'ala did not put them in the list. Right? You know, people ask questions, are you questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But then you're okay, brother, we'll go into it, if you're that interested. The simple answer is, all the above blessed personalities, the blessed ten, were destined to live after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus, he was guiding his ummah to the role models after him. Whilst the ones you mentioned all passed away during the Prophet's lifetime. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about that. Miracle after miracle. Imagine if one of the ten had passed away. You think, would a non-Muslim say, oh, look at that. Didn't he know that he's going to die? Why he put him in the list for? All ten lived after the Prophet. Now you say in English, put that in your pipe and smoke it, right? How did he know that these ten were going to live after him? If he'd mentioned Zayd ibn al-Haritha, he passed away in the Prophet's lifetime. If he mentioned Khadija, she passed away in the Prophet's lifetime. If he mentioned Hamza, he passed away in the Prophet's lifetime. So every part of this hadith is a sign of Nubuwwat. In its authenticity, in the order it's given, the names given. What else? Another very interesting point. This also shows the superior status of the earliest Muhajirun over the Ansar. Not one of the Ansar are mentioned in the list. We've been through the lives of some of the great Ansar. Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad. Look at their status. Somebody could say to you, in the 10th promised paradise, now one Ansar is mentioned. Straight away, what else do you learn? You learn that these are something else. They're on another pedestal. You can't match these 10. In addition, the order, the Prophet's order was precise. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. Radiyallahu ta'ala. So, who is mentioned in this hadith? Ali. And the Rawafid, you know, imagine, isn't it? Oh, this is a fake hadith. How can it be a fake hadith? Mutawatir. You saw a light. Well, in that case, God help us all in it. Right? And then they joke about this hadith. He goes, oh, one of them definitely promised paradise. Ali. He goes, you got one, you got 10% right. Who got 10% right? Right? So why? Because it destroys their belief. According to them, 90% of these people are munafiqs. Astaghfirullah. The other thing which is important to highlight about the Rawafid is that they make you believe that you don't believe in munafiqs. What do I mean by that? So what they say is, oh, everybody's radiyallahu anhu. You don't believe it. But who said we don't believe in munafiqs? The Ahlul Sunnah and the Rawafid both believed they were munafiqs in the lifetime of the Prophet. We both believe that. The huge difference is, you've made it into the high 90%. Right? We believe they were munafiqs, but they were not comparable to the overwhelming number of believers. So this is another thing that they want you to thumb soak. Because we believe in munafiqs, but they weren't in their high 90%. If you say that, what are you actually accusing Rasulullah of? What are, you know, you're basically saying he doesn't know how to teach. 95% or whatever you want to say, they failed. So who are you actually accusing of failure? The one who's teaching them. We say, that's why we say, look, the munafiqs were not many. They were in their hundreds possibly, but compared to the overwhelming majority, they were nothing. Otherwise, you're accusing the Prophet of being a failure. That Allah is. Another report where the Khalafa Rashidin are mentioned. So this is recorded in Bayhaqi in his Dala'il Nubu'ah, Al-Bidayah, volume 6, page 132. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 509-10 of the New English Translation. Similar was related by Bazar Abu Nu'aym in his Dala'il Nubu'ah, page 215. Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, volume 8, page 299, comments upon the chain of narrators. So Wade ibn Zayd, rahmatullah alayhi, relates, I once saw Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu sitting alone in the masjid. I thus considered this opportunity a boon I to learn. Just up in the report. Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu, he was the sixth or the seventh person to embrace Islam. That's how early he was. He wasn't from the Quraysh. He was from the Kafar tribe. The Prophet likened him in his asceticism to Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam. Very famous sahab. Why was he alone? Because he was a straightforward person. He hated people with wealth. Anybody had wealth, he goes, why don't you give it to your brothers? So he's alone in the masjid. And there's actually another hadith, let me mention it to put it in context. The hadith is in Bayhaqi, it is Shu'ab al-Iman. This Tabi'id saw Abu Dharr by himself in the masjid with a black cloak. So not only was he by himself, he had a cloak on as well, black cloak. So that Tabi'id goes, Ghanima, spoils. So he sat next to him and he goes, oh, blessed companion, why are you sitting by yourself? So Abu Dharr's response shows he didn't, you know, he basically, you shouldn't have asked him. He got like, you know, upset by the question. So he said to him, being alone is better than being in bad company. Being in good company is better than being alone. Speaking good is better than keeping quiet. And keeping quiet is better than speaking evil. That's it. I've been left. So what he basically told them was, there's no good company. So I'm sitting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid. That's what he was literally saying to him. Then he said, Fazul, I don't talk rubbish, right? So basically, I'd rather just keep quiet. And he was basically telling him, goodbye. Right? So, and look how polite he was. He actually gave him a narration as well. So this report, exactly the same. So Wade ibn Zayd, he enters, because alone in the masjid, Abu Dhar, he goes, Ghanima. I sat down with him, and I told him about Uthman. Uthman radiallahu anhu. Now that's interesting. Why was he talking about Uthman to Abu Dhar? Because some ignoramuses had started speaking ill of him. This Uthman's Khalifat. So what did they think? Oh, he's got too much money. He's, you know, he puts his cousins in authority. He's too old. He's becoming senile. So imagine Abu Dhar listening like this. So Abu Dhar then said, for Uthman, I won't say anything but good. Now this is a very important statement he's making. Why? Note, this pregnant statement can only be appreciated when one realizes that this majestic companion had not spared many other illustrious companions whom he believed had taken more of the world than was necessary. So the way to describe Abu Dhar was, he had a shotgun in his hand. If you've got money, he takes you out. For instance, he was in Syria, Sham, and he was blasting Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, because what's he doing with the money? No, this is no good. So Muawiyah sends a letter back to Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's Amir al-Mu'mineen. He goes, please, Abu Dhar, may Allah bless him, but he's making our life, you know, unbearable. So right? So Hazrat Uthman sends a message. He goes, you're wanted, Abu Dhar, back in Medina. He comes back, Abu Dhar radiallahu anhu, and he starts blasting the people in Medina. He goes, oh, you've changed. What's these buildings? What's these houses? What's going on? So then Hazrat Uthman calls him again. He goes, Abu Dhar, we all can't live like you. Yours is the ideal. Don't try to force that upon others. So then Hazrat Uthman said, will you go to a place, another place? You can live freely there. Rabada. Rabada is like a place by itself. You know, an isolated spot. He goes, we will look after you. We'll give you everything. And he goes, nobody will trouble you there. So he went. Now, well, look what's happened. He was in Egypt first. Then he went to Syria. Then he went to Medina. Now he's going to Rabada. The Holy Prophet himself told him that was going to happen to him. The Holy Prophet told that to Abu Dhar. Once Abu Dhar was in the masjid sleeping, and the Prophet nudged him with his foot, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Dhar wakes up, and the Prophet goes, do you sleep? And the Prophet's humor was like that, because Abu Dhar, you know, is he a human? He goes, do you sleep? Then he goes to Abu Dhar. He goes, what will happen, Abu Dhar? When people will, you know, start living like this and like this. So Abu Dhar doesn't say anything. And then he goes, what will happen, Abu Dhar? And he starts asking Abu Dhar questions. And eventually Abu Dhar goes, I'll get my sword and I'll sword to my Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, shall I guide you to something better, Abu Dhar? He goes, what's that, Ya Rasulullah? He goes, don't take your sword out. Just go to another place. When you're in Egypt, leave. Go to Sham. And then the Prophet paused and he said to Abu Dhar, he goes, what if the same thing happens there, Abu Dhar? So he goes, I'll get my sword out, Ya Rasulullah. He goes, shall I guide you to something better? You just leave. And eventually he goes, you will go to a lonely place. So when Uthman told Abu Dhar, go to Rabada, Abu Dhar goes, Subhanallah, Saddaqta Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now keeping all that in mind, this man came to Abu Dhar, what did he say? Tell me about Uthman. Meaning, you must have got something against him, because he took on you. You're in the middle of nowhere. And look what he said. I won't say anything but good for Uthman. Why didn't he get shotgun out? How can you get shotgun out, Amir al-Mu'mineen? Then the report says, Abu Dhar said, I have seen Uthman often near Rasulullah. He goes, how many times did I see him with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then he said, let me give you one incident. So he goes, he was always with the Prophet. But let me mention one. Abu Dharr said, radiyallahu, I myself used to live with Rasulullah. Used to live with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And acquired knowledge from him, meaning I was Ashab al-Suf. I lived in the masjid. But we were the guests of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, one day as usual I went and I saw he was leaving, going out. So I followed him respectively. He thereupon sat down at a certain place, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I too sat down near him. He thereupon asked, O Abu Dharr, radiyallahu, what need has brought you here? Abu Dharr said, I replied, I am here to be in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. Look how beautiful. He's not even talking to the Prophet. He's just watching him. So the Prophet goes out to the masjid. Abu Dharr follows him a little bit distance. And the Prophet just sits somewhere. Abu Dharr sits. The Prophet then sees him. He goes, why have you come out? He goes, I'm here to serve Allah Ta'ala and his messenger. Then Abu Dharr said, meanwhile Abu Bakr arrived. Radiyallahu anhu. He gave the salam and he sat to the right side of Rasulullah. Right next to him. Look at Abu Dharr, he knew his place. He sat away from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr gives salam, where does he sit? To his right, imagine, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He thereupon asked him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Abu Bakr, what need has brought you here? He says, I'm here to be in the service of Allah Ta'ala and his messenger. So who's there now? Abu Bakr, sitting next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the right, Abu Dharr, at a distance. Then Umar arrived, Umar, radiyallahu, he sat down to the right of Abu Bakr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Umar, what need has brought you here? He goes, I have come to be in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger. So picture the scene. Rasulullah sitting, don't know where they're sitting, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr sitting right next to him, to his right, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Umar is sitting to the right of Abu Bakr, Abu Dharr sitting a bit distant. Thereafter Uthman arrived. Don't forget, Abu Dharr is narrating this. And he sat to the right of Umar. The Prophet ﷺ said, oh Uthman, what need has brought you here? He said, I've come to serve Allah Ta'ala and his messenger, be at their service. And then the Prophet just lowered his head. Then Abu Dharr said, radiyallahu, Rasulullah then picked up 7 or 9 pieces of gravel in his hand. And Allahu Akbar, those pieces began to do dhikr, glorify Allah in his blessed hand. So imagine, Abu Dharr saw him, because he picked a few pieces, 7 to 9. He goes, I started hearing dhikr. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. And then Abu Dharr said, I heard those gravel humming like honeybees. Because that's the best way to describe it, you know, zzz, like this, honeybees. Then he put them down and they became silent. Now what's interesting, stop in the report. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he received revelation, Umar radiyallahu anhu, he said, there was a kind of a buzzing sound around his blessed face, like honeybees. So when he was receiving revelation, there'd be that kind of a mysterious sound as well, like honeybees. So he's put these gravel down, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now this is important, he put the gravel in Abu Bakr's hand. So what's important here? Abu Bakr didn't pick them up. I heard one brother say that, making the one hadith, so, right? Rasulullah picked those gravel up, he put it into Abu Bakr's hand, radiyallahu. And Abu Dharr goes, subhanallah, the gravel once again started doing dhikr in Abu Bakr's hands. Abu Bakr then put them down, radiyallahu, and they became silent. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picked them up, put them in Umar's hand, radiyallahu, and subhanallah, they're doing dhikr again. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put them in Uthman's hand, and subhanallah, the same thing happened again. The Holy Prophet thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, This denotes the successes of prophethood. This, what you witnessed, denotes who will succeed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, let's look at this. This tabi'een has sat with Abu Dharr. And he's asking him about Uthman. So he could have just said this. He's the third greatest sahaba. What else do you need to know? But he wanted to get across to this tabi'een. I'm going to tell you something I saw with my own eyes. Because you could narrate, but when you narrate, you went there. So sahaba could narrate, but they might not have been there. So he made sure this tabi'een understood, I was there. And what did he hammer into that tabi'een? That Rasulullah was showing to us that these are the successes. Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala. Where's Ali? Another narration adds, in Tabarani in his Awsat, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, volume 5, page 179, comments upon the chain of narrators, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 510 of the New English Translation. Hazrat Ali joined the company. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also gave the gravel to Ali, and they stopped only after he had put them down. So the same thing happened where Ali joined. He came later, and Rasulullah did the same for Ali sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now look at the significance of this. It's very interesting. Why was Ali not there at the beginning? Radiallahu. So you could say, well, this is Allah Ta'ala, yeah, Allah Ta'ala wills everything. You didn't answer my question. Why did Allah Ta'ala not make him come at the beginning? Because the first three, they all agreed that they were the Khalifs. Nobody disagreed with Abu Bakr's Khilafat. Nobody disagreed over Umar's Khilafat. Nobody disagreed over Uthman's Khilafat. People disagreed over Ali's Khilafat. Many Sahaba didn't pledge to him. So look how significant. Ali came after. And what did the Prophet say before Ali came? Only when Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman, he goes, this denotes the successes of Nabuwwat. When Ali came, the Prophet pointed into his hand, the zikr happened, but he didn't say anything. Meaning there's going to be trouble when Ali becomes the Khalif, radiallahu. So now what's interesting, some other Sahaba eventually came. In Tabarani, Al-Haythami in Majwa' al-Zawa'id, volume 5, page 299, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 510 of the New English Translation, Abu Nu'aym in his Dalail Nubu'ah, page 54, relates similar. Some other companions also joined the gathering. We don't know who they were. Abu Dharr himself added, radiyallahu, every person sitting in that gathering heard the tasbih from each of the four successors. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed the gravel in our hands. And subhanallah, they did not engage in tasbih in any of our hands. So you get this impression. So the Sahab obviously came. And they were thinking in their hearts, who knows, maybe we will succeed as well. So Rasulullah probably saw that in their blessed faces. He didn't want to hurt them. But they wanted, so the Prophet picked the gravel. Imagine Abu Dharr put his hand up. Allahu Akbar. Maybe me, right? Put it into his hand. Absolutely nothing. Right? Imagine. It's not me. Then Rasulullah did it for another sahaba. Put it in his hand. He thought, could be possible. Nothing. The miracle only occurred for Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. Now again, what was the order? Bole bale Musliman, right? What was the order? Ali first, Abu Bakr second, Uthman second, Umar first. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. Abu Bakr, Umar. Now don't you think they knew that? You know, think about it. Yeah, there was a due process, which we'll discuss. But eventually, this is exactly what happened. These were the ones who succeeded Rasulullah. And the process took place so we could learn the different ways in which to appoint a Khalif. This was the reason that all this was taking place. So note again, many miracles were taking place. And just to add to finish, thus Abu Dharr radiyallahu related this miraculous incident to the inquirer to highlight to him that not only was Uthman radiallahu anhu up to the task of being the Amir al-Mu'mineen, but in fact was divinely appointed for that role, i.e. unlike themselves. Subhanallah. In other words, how can you think ill of somebody who Allah Ta'ala has appointed? If you think ill of him, who are you actually thinking ill of? Ya Allah, you made a mistake. Uthman's too old. That's what Abu Dharr was highlighting. In other words, I won't say anything but good about Uthman. Anything but good, meaning, how dare I even speak ill of him, radiallahu anhu. So what I mentioned today was now basically number 15, where Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's blessed name is mentioned with his illustrious predecessors. And not the order is always the same. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك وبحمد الله من الله سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله